Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
I'm Robert Crowther, Director of Communications at the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. And today we're going to talk about the strange relationship between some conservatives and Darwinism. A number of conservatives, such as George Will, James Q. Wilson, and Larry Arnhart, recently have been defending Darwinian biology, even urging conservatives to draw on Darwin's theory for support. Dr. John West joins us today to talk about his forthcoming book, Darwin's Conservatives, The Misguided Quest, in which he argues that the quest for Darwinian conservatism is fundamentally flawed. Dr. West is a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute and was previously the chair of the Department of Political Science and Geography at Seattle Pacific University. Dr. West has written, edited, or co-authored 10 books, including last year's critique of Judge Jones' ruling in the Kitzmiller versus Dover trial, Traipsing into Evolution. Thanks for being on the program with us today, John.
Thanks for having me.
So the first thing I want to know is, what made you want to write a book about conservatism and Darwinism?
Well, actually, it was what you were just talking about. An increasing number of conservatives like George Will or Charles Krauthammer or at National Review, John Derbyshire, have either been attacking intelligent design or advocating that we ought to follow Darwin's theory and really blasting anyone who's critical of Darwin. And so I think that they're misguided, and I wanted to point that out.
Interesting. Why is it that you think some of these conservatives are so quick to defend Darwin or attack intelligent design?
Well, I think one key reason is actually that it's fashionable. You know, in the 19th century, we had Marx and you had Freud, and both of them have been debunked and refuted. But Darwin is still some sort of secular saint, and people in polite conversation, in which probably at the cocktail parties that George Will goes to, you know, it's not polite and it's embarrassing to be against Darwin. And so I think part of that is just sort of that's in the fashion. Also, I think there's some ignorance. If you look particularly at George Will and Charles Krauthammer and some of the things that they've said, it's really apparent that they haven't been keeping up with things. For example, Charles Krauthammer castigated the Board of Education in Kansas for trying to enforce and impose intelligent design in their curriculum. Well, in fact, as I hope listeners to this program know, the Kansas Board of Education didn't do that. In fact, they did the exact opposite. They actually said they weren't putting intelligent design in the curriculum. They were just studying the scientific criticisms for and against Darwin's theory. So it's obvious that Krauthammer, when he said this, hadn't even read the science standards. So I think there is a large dose of ignorance. And then I think, finally, there are some conservatives who keep this issue at a arm's length because they don't think it's important and they'd rather not get into it, and they think, well, let's just focus on tax policy or even, you know, issues like partial birth abortion, and that this is just a sort of an arcane debate over the finer points of biology or philosophy, when in fact Darwinism really is intertwined with a lot of key debates today about the economy, about limited government, about bioethics, about morality. And so far from being arcane, it really, I think, is a very fundamental debate that conservatives should be interested in.
Right. It sounds like that this sort of ignorance or unknowing about the issue, people think it's science and that somehow they don't understand that, is combined with a sort of politically incorrect attitude that they don't want to take. So they decide that this isn't an issue that they're going to challenge. There are some, though, who are more thoughtful than others. Who would you say are the ones that are challenging, you know, picking up on the issue and are defending conservatism from a Darwinian perspective in a thoughtful manner?
Yeah, that's true. I'd say James Q. Wilson and Larry Arnhart are probably the most thoughtful proponents of this view. And actually, Larry Arnhart, who's a political science professor, political theorist at Northern Illinois University, wrote a book last year called Darwinian Conservatism. And so a large part of my forthcoming book actually dissects his arguments. Dr. Arnhart and I have had some really interesting discussions, including in Philadelphia just a few weeks ago, where we sort of went at it. And I do think he's thoughtful, but I think he's thoughtfully wrong, and I try to show that.
Okay. If Larry Earnhardt is a thoughtful Darwinian conservative, who is the least thoughtful?
I think that I'd rather not answer that. And people can read my book and judge for themselves.
Okay. Some conservatives argue that Darwinism protects us against utopian government because it establishes that many of our dispositions are rooted in biology and can't be changed. What do you think of that argument?
Well, two things. One is I think some Darwinian conservatives confuse biology with Darwinism, and they think that any showing that we have a biological nature, they equate it with Darwinism. And I think that's just false. I mean, we can understand that there are basic biological differences between men and women, which I certainly believe, and that we have dispositions that are based out of our biology without buying into the Darwinist story that these came about through this purposeless process of sort of survival of the fittest. And so I think, you know, that's one problem here, that they equate that you need to believe in Darwinism in order to believe in biology, and that's just silly. But another issue here is that the track record of Darwinism when it comes to utopianism is pretty clear. Over the past 100 years, Darwinists have been at the forefront of promoting utopian schemes, particularly eugenics, where it resulted in more than 60,000 people who were sterilized against their will. Many of them really today wouldn't be considered mentally handicapped in any way. And this was just abhorrent, yet the people who were most promoting it were the leading Darwinian biologists. And that's just one issue. I recount several in my book. And so this idea that Darwinism somehow is a good fit for, you know, limited government or keeping the government out of utopian schemes to remake the world, just, I mean, history really refutes that.
Mm-hmm. I know that in addition to the arguments about utopian government and so on, I've also heard some conservatives argue about Darwin's theory based on kind of an economic idea, the idea of natural selection and Darwin's idea of survival of the fittest, that fits with free enterprise, that it's really analogous to the idea of competition in a free market. Why don't you agree with that argument?
Ironically, Darwin's theory in the 19th century was primarily used to attack capitalism as nothing but survival of the fittest. So it was leftists who were anti-conservative who really liked that analogy because they thought it could stigmatize capitalism. And that's also one reason why most capitalists, not all, but most in the 19th century and beyond, didn't really like the claim that Darwinism was sort of analogous to capitalism. They thought it was too negative. 19th century free marketeers and capitalists thought that, just like George Gilder today, that capitalism benefits everyone. And in the Darwinian view, which really grew out of the views of Thomas Malthus, that, you know, human overpopulation we need to be concerned about and the sort of survival of the fittest in nature, you can apply that to human society. They thought that was way too negative because it suggests the only way one person can get ahead is by walking over another person's dead body. And the 19th century capitalists pointed out that, in fact, free exchange, free economic exchanges benefits both sides, and it benefits the poor as well as people who are not poor. And so I think that they were really against that. And then fundamentally, Darwinism and free enterprise really isn't a good fit because the sort of things you see that make competition go are really, I want to say, intelligently designed. I mean, when someone designs a product, that is because they've worked on it, they've had an idea, and it's not a random mutation. It's not a random variation. And so the sort of thing that makes competition work is all the little intelligent designers who are making things that they think fit and will add to our wealth and add to our creativity and benefit human society. They're not blind, random variations of the sort called for in Darwinism.
Right. I think that's where George Gilder comes from because he talks about creativity and imagination. Beyond that, what do you think is the most important reason that Darwinism doesn't support conservatism in your view?
You know, I'd have to say probably it's Darwin's undercutting of any sense of universal moral truth or even universal human rights. in Darwin's Descent of Man, he makes very clear that morality is a function of natural selection and the current environment. And so that although our current dictates of morality of, say, kindness or treating other people fairly, that helps in our current society, so that's okay. But if the environmental conditions for survival change, that could be completely out the door. And so trying to have a permanent basis for things like limited government or human rights is very hard in a Darwinian sense, because Darwinism really says that anything that exists, you know, even something like rape, a couple of guys wrote a book about the natural history of rape, has to serve some sort of biological function. So in some sense, it's, you know, blessed by natural selection. And so if the environment changes, you get something completely different. And where this really comes out in Darwin's own writing, he has this startling passage where he compares us to hive bees. And I'll just read a couple sentences, because this really brings out the radical reductionism and the radical sort of moral relativism that is endemic in Darwinism. Darwin said, "If, for instance, men were reared under precisely the same conditions as hive bees, there can hardly be a doubt that our unmarried females would, like the worker bees, think it a sacred duty to kill their brothers, and mothers would strive to kill their fertile daughters, and no one would think of interfering." I mean, what he's saying here is that if we had the same environmental conditions for survival that hive bees are subjected to, suddenly it would now be moral for brothers and sisters to kill each other, for parents to kill off their daughters. I mean, this is really radically relativistic. And I think it's very hard. How do you have a permanent standard of things like limited government and basic human rights when it's subject to complete change depending on the environmental conditions?
Well, this is all very fascinating, and I want to thank you for being with us today, John. I hope we can have you back soon to talk about this some more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The forthcoming book is Darwin's Conservatives, The Misguided Quest by Dr. John West, which will be published by Discovery Institute Press in November. If you're not familiar with Discovery Institute Press, you will want to be, as this is the third book published by the press in just the last 18 months, and there have been 5 books overall. The previous books in the series include Traipsing into Evolution, Intelligent Design, and the Kitzmiller versus Dover Decision, Why is a Fly Not a Horse by Dr. Giuseppe Sermonti, Are We Spiritual Machines, Ray Kurzweil versus the Critics of Strong AI, and Getting the Facts Straight, A Viewer's Guide to PBS's Evolution. Discovery Institute Press is run out of the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute in Seattle. For more information, you can visit the CSC online at www.discovery.org/CSC. And finally, if you have any questions, please send them to us here at cscinfo@discovery.org. I'm Robert Crowther for IDTF at the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.